If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
You know, in my opinion, our biggest fight should have been the virus, not the economical stuff. The virus is up to this point, it's undefeated. There's no sport that's gotten back yet. So our biggest enemy is actually a common enemy. And unfortunately, the two sides didn't seem to get together on that part.
Well, that's White Sox catcher James McCann, who, as the White Sox union rep, had a front row seat to the ugly battle that took place between the players and the owners. And here on the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, talks about how both sides, players and owners, lost focus on what the fight should have been about the whole time. Not money, but the virus. And finding ways to get back on the field and keeping players safe. And now with baseball coming back, which is great, but with players suddenly testing positive for COVID-19, James is concerned. He talks about that. Also about why starting the season this late should help the White Sox rotation. Is 2020 going to have an asterisk next to it, like forever? Also, how this abbreviated season might affect his situation, because James is a free agent after this year. So that and more. James McCann speaking some real truth here on the White Sox Talk Podcast.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fisk has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark!
You can put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
All right, James McCann, a lot of things I want to get to, but let's start with just what's the feeling amongst the players, White Sox players right now, that after this long wait, you're going to get to try and start this baseball season finally?
I mean, guys are excited. Guys have been ready to roll. It's hard to really explain because no one's ever been in the situation that we're in. And I feel like guys' hearts are tugging so many different directions, from, what's going on with the virus and the pandemic to, the racial things going on. And I mean, you turn on the news and your heart's going to get tugged in a different direction each time. But the one thing that I think continues to tug at everyone's heart is the desire to play the game of baseball. And so getting to the end date and see the light at the end of the tunnel, I think guys are really excited.
I want to ask a lot about the White Sox in 2020, but I want to get to how you guys got to this point. Players and owners, it's been so ugly. And as a player rep who is privy to some things, or a lot more than, most people, what happened? Why did it get so ugly?
Well, it's really hard to explain. It's very easy to sit as a fan and a general bystander and say it's a fight about money, which unfortunately the game of baseball is a business as much as a game, and so there's always going to be there's that constant thing of a dollar bill. But I think that part of it was, I really don't know. I sit here and I'm trying to wrap my mind around it. I don't even know how the battle really started, other than, two sides that were far apart in what they wanted for the 2020 season. I think that, you can sit here and point fingers all day long, but at the end of the day, like I mentioned to you before, I wish that all the fighting and everything would have been done behind closed doors, and kept between the owners and the players and everyone involved, and so that the fans didn't see that side of the game. I really wish that part of the business could be kept private, and unfortunately it was. Unfortunately, everyone kind of got a front row seat.
I don't know if you had a chance to see Trevor Bauer's tweet a couple of days ago, where I have it right here. He said, if there's going to be a fight, the time for that fight is after the 2021 season, when a new CBA is negotiated, 5 years of potential change. We're doing, in his mind, this is what he said, irreparable damage to our industry right now over rules that last at most 16 months. What do you think about what Trevor said there?
First off, I think Trevor's a very smart individual. The times I've gotten to talk to him, I think he's very intelligent. I don't necessarily disagree with him. Unfortunately, the way that businesses work, whether it be baseball or whatever, while 16 months it may only be 16 months, at the end of the day, both sides are looking at it as someone's going to transition into that fight at the end of 21. So both sides are concerned, well, if we give up this now, they're going to expect us to give it up at the end of 21. So unfortunately, and a pandemic was exploited to try and make gains that for whatever reason the gains are trying to be made, that's kind of what happened. And there's some truth to the fact that, it would have been much better off if we just been able to sit down and say, hey, we're in the middle of a pandemic. The goal is to get back on the field. Let's not out. In my opinion, our biggest fight should have been the virus, not the economical stuff. The virus is up to this point, it's undefeated. There's no sport that's gotten back yet. So our biggest enemy is actually a common enemy. And unfortunately, the two sides didn't seem to get together on that part.
Yeah, see, where I sit is, what's the priority here? Like you said, it's the virus. And I would like to think, and it's easy for me to say it, but I would like to think that the leadership from both sides would recognize that and put the economics aside, because in the grand scheme of things, it should be way down on the totem pole, and yet it became at the very tippy top and for months. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think, as I sit here today, expecting to report within the next several days, and seeing players and guys across the league come down with the virus or test positive. And I don't know anyone's business, is me speculating, but we haven't heard about anyone testing positive over the last 3 months. And now a week before, you're hearing about multiple cases. That to me shows that's where our focus should have been. Our focus should have been on how do we get guys, back to camp, and how do we get guys playing baseball. And then once we get that, how do we stay safe? And that should have been what everyone was worried about. That should have been what was at the forefront of the media. And all the economic struggles should have been taken care of in a closed room where only people privy to that information, were aware of it. Because at the end of the day, the fans and the players and the owners, everyone are really on the same side when it comes to, we all just want to see baseball. We all just want to play baseball. We want, if you're an owner, you want your team on the field. If you're a player, you want to be on the field. And if you're a fan, you want to be able to watch it. So in all reality, we should be on the same side of the table in a pandemic type situation of let's get back on the field. Whatever it takes, let's get back on the field.
So why did that happen this way?
I mean, we've got, there's years and years and years and years of struggle between the owners and the players. And I think that type of conversation could take a long time.
Okay. How concerned are you now with the virus? Because now we've heard that the Phillies have had a few guys test positive. The Blue Jays, Charlie Blackmon, the biggest name that we've heard in baseball, came down with it. And, you were now going to be traveling yourselves and potentially exposing yourself. How concerned are you just personally?
I've said this to numerous players over the last couple of months, and in our conversations that I was never worried about the economical side of things. I knew at some point we would find a way to play, even if that meant the commissioner implementing the season, which ended up happening. I never thought that the struggle of the economics would keep us from playing a season. And that's part of my frustration with the way that everything was handled, is I don't think anyone ever thought that was going to hold us back from playing. It's the virus that we can't control. It's the virus that we don't know what's going to happen. It's the virus that put us in the situation in the first place. You know, it wasn't back in March. We weren't fighting over the economical stuff. So that's what concerns me, is the virus. And it's funny. It's not funny. Funny is not the right word. It's scary that if we would have had this conversation a week ago, you know, we didn't have the positive test from the Phillies yet. We didn't have the positive test from Blackmon. I would have said, hey, I think we're, you know, not that we're in the clear, because I don't think we're definitely not in the clear. You know, I don't think anyone's in the clear from the virus. But I would have thought, hey, we're good to go. But it's crazy how much, you know, 1 week's worth of time can change. It's such a fluid situation, and there's so many things that are happening across the nation right now. You just don't know. And so I've told players this, that the economical side, that's going to work itself out. Our focus needs to be on how do we stay safe from the virus? How do we hold each other accountable to make sure that we're not making silly decisions once we are together, and how do we keep each other safe?
I'm Mike Tirico, and on the next episode of Sports Uncovered, Marathon on Ice.
I can't go more than 10 seconds yet. This is a fifth overtime, right? It was so bad that I thought my legs were going to buckle and my knees were going to blow up.
I got an IV after the fourth period, and I went out and I started, and I completely seized up. I completely cramped up, and I'm standing on the ice going, I can't move right now.
Subscribe to Sports Uncovered for free wherever you listen to podcasts.
DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a variety of daily fantasy contests with cash prizes up for grabs. Contests include golf, MMA, and soccer events. It's simple. Each player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap. And then sit back and watch your points pile up. Download the DraftKings app and use code UNCOVERED. New users will get a free entry with their first deposit. That's code UNCOVERED, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
What do you think about the health and safety protocols that the league has put together? I mean, some of them, you know, are extreme, but probably what you needed. I mean, no spitting, no high fives, and they even recommend not even taking a shower at the field.
Yeah, there's some of them. I get it. I get that you have to cover as many and all of your bases that you can. I don't particularly think that showering is going to, I mean,
I haven't heard of that before. Like, yeah, really? Is that going to cause me to give it to someone else?
You're talking about staph infections and all sorts of other, you know, stuff from not showering. I think that, like I said, you got to cover all your bases, and you know, we just don't know. There's so much that we don't know about the virus still that, you know, it's going to be extremely difficult for guys not to spit. I don't see. I mean, unless you start handing out fines, we never spit in each other's face. So I don't think, I don't think that's really going to cause that big of an issue. I guess if you're spitting seeds and the wind blows your spit down the bench, I guess maybe that, or, you know, but I don't know. One of the things that got me was pitchers can have a wet rag in their pocket so they don't go to their mouth. And I'm thinking, man, I know pitchers, they're going to find a way to use that to their advantage. Which, you know, give him Pontar. I don't care. Give him Pontar.
Well, looking at the season, the 60-game season, does that give you guys an advantage or a disadvantage, do you think?
I don't know, because I don't think anyone knows, just from the fact that it's never been done. I think if you come to me in September, I'll tell you if it is an advantage or a disadvantage. I mean, look at the Nationals. If you take their season last year, the World Series champs, a 60-game season was a disadvantage to them, you know, the way they started. Now you take a team that gets out of the gates hot, it's an advantage. So I really don't think that you can sit here and say it's an advantage or disadvantage to anyone until the end of the season, and you kind of see how things shake out for them.
Do you think there will be some players, for any number of reasons, who will decide not to play, whether it's the virus, whether it's their contract situation, or whatever it might be?
I personally have not talked to anybody that feels that way. I think guys are itching to get back on the field. I don't foresee, I mean, I could be wrong on this, but I don't foresee the whole, like you got in college football where guys sit out the meaningless bowl games because they're about to be drafted high in the NFL. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily see that happening. I can see teams playing it safe with their players. And I think that's probably smart from a standpoint of, sure, it's only 60 games, but we're not having the same spring training buildup. And, 60 games in 66 days, it's just a different type of season. So I can see teams having a little bit shorter leash with starting pitchers, not allowing relievers to go back-to-back days, especially early on. Not running even your shortstop, not running them out there 15 days in a row. There's certain things I think you'll see teams use their depth to try and protect players. I think that a season like this is as much about finding a way to keep your players healthy and safe as it is, competing. Because obviously you build your team to compete, so you should be able to take your 25th man and run them out there once every 3 or 4 days and still find success.
When you look at what's ahead of you, you come to Chicago and you've got we'll call it a spring training 2.0 in the middle of the summer, and you have a few weeks to train, and it's not going to be your typical spring training. How are you internalizing this and figuring out, okay, how am I going to get ready? How are we going to get ready for a season in this very different way?
Well, first off, I don't think anyone knows that answer. Because no one truly knows how things are going to be run. If you look at the manual, the first week is supposed to be like tiers of players that arrive at different times. So you're not even really going, full team workouts. I almost feel like the first few days, especially while it's just pitchers and catchers, it's almost going to be like individual type training, where you get these four or five pitchers with this catcher, these four or five pitchers with this catcher, whatever it may be. But it's honestly find a way to get yourself ready, because we're not playing spring training games. I mean, we got inter-squad games, but you're not going to get the 50 at bats as a hitter that you'd get during a typical spring training. You're not going to, as a pitcher, be able to work your way up from a 2-inning outing to a 6-inning outing. It's just so different that I don't know if people really know what to expect. And I think the answer to your question is kind of like, we'll see, we'll see what happens. You kind of just gotta roll with the punches. We'll see what happens.
I saw this quote in the newspaper from a former player who said, because the first question I want to ask you about this is, do you feel like a 60 game season could threaten the legitimacy of the season? Will it be considered a legitimate season?
Well, the thing that I've heard players make comments about, it's not even worth it because it's not a legitimate season, and they point directly to last year's team, the Nationals, that they would not have won a World Series if it had been only a 60-game season. And that baseball is different than every other sport because it's a man's game in a sense that it's over 162 games. It's not a 60-game season where, someone gets hot and rides, a hot streak into the playoffs. You got to find a way to do it across 6 months. But at the same time, everyone's exposed to the same thing. Everyone's dealing with the same thing. And I think that I don't want to say that the legitimacy of it isn't there. I think there's always going to be an asterisk next to 2020. Think about it as a pitcher, if you're a reliever and over 162 games, you get, 50 plus innings. Well, what does that mean in 60 games? You're going to get 25 innings, whatever it may be. So let's say you have a bad outing in your first outing. Well, it's going to take you you know, it takes you months to get to recover from a you know, statistical standpoint. The same thing as a hitter. If you start out in, and I remember Torrey Hunter told me when I was a rookie in Detroit that, you know, come talk to me in September. You know, don't worry about my stats right now. Come talk to me in September. They'll be where they're supposed to be. And I remember thinking, like, that's a pro right there. He knows that it doesn't matter if he hits 400 a month of April. If he hits 100 in September, it'll all even out. You don't have that in a 60-game season. You know, you don't have the 5 months to figure it out. So that's going to be the interesting part is, like, on the back of people's baseball cards, there should always be a little asterisk next to the 2020 season because it's just not a – it's not a representative season when it comes to the allowing stats to play out in as a typical baseball season would
be. What about for the team that wins it all? Do you think you put an asterisk next to that?
In my opinion, they're still a World Series champion. I think that despite the fact that there's an asterisk next to the year 2020, everyone dealt with the same circumstances. So it's not like – it's not like every team got to, you know, had to do it one way, and the team that wins the World Series got to do it a different way. I think everyone's exposed to the same thing, and, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, the quote that I read was, this is going to be a year that everyone remembers. You know, does everyone remember who won the World Series off the top of their head in 2016, 2015, 2012? I mean, if it was in your town, yes, you'll remember. Everyone, I think, will remember 2020. Do you agree?
No, I definitely agree. I agree. And I think, I mean, I hope that there's going to be seasons that people remember, like, hey, remember the coronavirus season where that guy hit 400 or, you know, whatever it is, or where, you know, DeGrom didn't give up a run for, you know, the entire month and then he ended up with a .01 or, you know, just crazy stuff is going to happen, I think. And I hope that it gets fans excited about baseball. I hope that, I mean, I've seen some stuff on Twitter where guys run like Barry Bonds is the best 60 game stretch. And I'm like, man, what kind of excitement would that bring to the game if a player were to go off over 60 games the way that you know, Barry Bonds did over his best 60 game stretch? And, or, you know, what happens when a team gets hot and run and, you know, wins 45 games out of 60, like that's the type of stuff that's going to bring excitement to the game. I think
it's a couple quick questions. And one is about you personally. You are one of the best team players I've gotten to know, and yet I'm just going to ask you this. You're a free agent at the end of this year, coming off a great offensive season. How does that affect you in your mind as an upcoming free agent, which, you know, this is not the situation you'd want to be going into, I'd imagine.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things. I've preached it my entire career. You got to control the things you can control, and it's one of those things that I can't control. You know, the timing of everything, it's just, you know, one day when I look back over the course of my career and I'm telling my grandchildren about it, it'll just be part of the story. You know, it's not, you know, it is what it is. I wish that I could go back and change things and make things the way that I want it and draw it up exactly the same, but that's not the way life works. And this is just another one of those examples that, again, you just roll with punches and you control what you can.
And what comes to your mind when you think about the White Sox in 2020 right now and what can be done? What can you guys do here this year?
I think it's the same thing that we talked about in spring training 1.0 or whatever you want to call it. You know, I think guys are looking to win, looking to get to the postseason and make noise. I don't think that because it's a 60-game season versus a 162-game season that changes anything. As a matter of fact, the fact that we're starting this late, we're getting a quote unquote full season's worth out of, you know, guys that we didn't expect to have back until this point in the season. So it'll be interesting to see the depth that we have on the starting pitching side with Rodon coming back and a Kopech, you know, with there really only being one team that you're going to have. You know, you're not going to be able to send guys to AAA to groom them to be back up in a couple months. You're going to, you've got your one team, and here it is. Let's go win.
Great stuff there from James McCann. Always brings the goods. And what he said specifically about the battle between players and owners, honestly, it's what many of us have been thinking and feeling all along, that a pandemic turn into a labor fight, a public labor fight, and an ugly one at that. It should not have happened. And as a result, the game is feeling the bruises from it. A few players have come out and spoke so openly about it, or even mentioned this. Well, James did, and I really appreciate it. Appreciate his candor, his honesty about, you know, what we're all seeing, that this should have been taken care of long ago. This is not about money. This is about a virus. That should have been the focus, and the players and owners lost focus. Taped another podcast as well on the same day, and that was with Steve Stone. And I'm going to save that for, I don't know when I'm going to put that out, but soon. He's really high on the White Sox chances this year in this situation, how a 60-game season, in his mind, could make them a playoff team. So that's coming up in the near future podcast with Steve Stone. That's a wrap for this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast. My thanks to James McCann, and my thanks to all of you for listening to the White Sox Talk podcast, brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to their special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, please, it's all yours.
Thanks, Art Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.